I found a great opportunity to stand here before you tonight. I've been going through studying some researching some different things, and I run across something in a book by preaching, and he's also a writer and a researcher. And it was something that really, really just kind of alarmed me. And he had it beginning based on a research of 557 churches from 2004 to 2010. 9 out of the 10 churches in America are declining or growing at a pace that is slower than that of their community. Simply stating, churches are losing ground in their own backyard. Another way of looking at it is about 2/3 of the buildings generation, that's those people born before 1946, are Christians. But only 15% of the millennials are Christians. The millennials are the largest generation in American history, with almost 80 million people.
Wow.
That's something really to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
And less than 15% of them are Christians.
Yeah.
They were born between 1980 and 2000. And we have all but lost that generation. We can blame it on the secular culture. And we can blame it on the godliness politics of our nation. We do that as well. We can blame it on the church, the hypocritical members, and the uncaring pastors. A lot of Christians are doing that too. But I'm proposing that we who are believers need to look in the mirror.
Amen.
Believers across America are weak because many of them have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. When will believers take our destiny? It's tied with the old covenant and the new covenant. This is what I understand in my studies. Contrasting the Mosaic covenant with the new covenant, they both have a twofold seal. But comparison will help us to understand that the Bible is really one book.
Yes.
A natural circumcision is, and we all know what that is, and you can find this scripture in Genesis 17, 9 through 14, Exodus 4, 24 through 26, and Joshua 5 through 59. And God said to Abraham, "Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man shall among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it will be a token." Notice what it says here. "It will be a token for the covenant between me and you." You ever thought about that? That it was going to be a token. "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man shall in your generation. He that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money must need be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh. Notice the token, the mark. It would be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Yes.
And the uncircumcised man shall, whose flesh or his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people.
Amen.
Because he hath broken my covenant. And you notice in Exodus 4:24-26, verse 4, she circumcised her husband.
Yes.
And then in Joshua, it also speaks of the same thing. Joshua 5:5-9. Circumcision, more specifically, was a token of the covenant. Token comes from Strong's 226, which is an oath, a signal, as a flag. You notice we fly a flag for the rock ministry.
Amen.
And that flag stands for any casualties, we're ready for you.
Yes.
Momentum, an omen, evidence, mark, miracle, a sign, a token in the wisdom of God. The covenant needed an identifying mark. Abraham was the first recorded person in Scripture required to undergo this.
Mm.
It was also practiced by some of the other cultures in the ancient world. In Jeremiah 9:25-26, you can also find it. Circumcision is the removal of the male foreskin at the time. Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
This represented a change of identity.
Yes.
Amen. And always when we have a change of identity, it's the removal of the old way of life. Sometimes I wonder, do we really respond that our old way of life should be changed?
Yes.
The act was also necessary for the inclusion into the covenant community. Circumcision had a practical focus on descendants. God had promised to make Abraham a great nation. Descendants were certainly necessary in order for that word to come to pass. I have a question for you. Do you believe what God has poured in you? Should you pour it in to your family?
Mm-hmm.
Should you pour it in to everybody around you?
Amen.
Do we always do it?
No.
And that's really something to think about. And if you notice something, when we break the cycle, and when that generation don't get poured into them, what you notice what it says, the builders, the older people, they are still, they are Christians.
Yes.
But it's this young group.
Mm-hmm.
What have we done?
Yes.
What have we missed? If it's 80 million of them, and less than 15% of them are Christians, it's really something to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
If you notice something here, Genesis 21:4 and Leviticus 12:3, it says that the child was to be circumcised in the eighth day. The eighth in numerology of the Bible, it's the number of new beginnings.
Yes.
Or resurrection life. Something to think about, isn't it? God's got a number for everything. Mm-hmm. How many numbers have we really valued? In spiritual numerology. It would remind Israel that they were to be faithful to God and His covenant. Any male who refused to be circumcised was in danger of excommunication from the covenant privileges. In fact, that person was considered a covenant breaker. You know what? I am talking about myself. But I truly believe that the generation of people in America that constantly calls the voices, it destroyed the fabric of the family.
Yes.
I'm one of those people. Went before the voices. And you know what? This is going straight at me. So, in the middle of the divorce, I no longer had the opportunity to spend time with my children. So somebody else wound up pouring into them what I should have. You know, it really makes us think, doesn't it?
Amen.
Spiritual circumcision that y'all have to forgive me. Because it's just something that's really dealing with my heart. In Deuteronomy 10 and 16, it says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Notice what it says. Now, all the way back in the Old Testament, it's talking about circumcise your heart.
Yes.
Most Christians only believe Paul come along talking about it.
Yeah.
But no. All the way back in Deuteronomy 10, 16. And it says, be no more stiff-necked.
Right.
Deuteronomy 30 and 6 says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed. If God couldn't, we didn't allow God to circumcise our heart, how could we pass on anything to our seed?
Amen.
To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That thou, and you know what it's, notice what it says, that thou may live.
Yes.
It's a real tragedy when we think about it. We're probably guilty of some people dying. Jeremiah 4 and 4, it basically speaks of the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. God calling for them to do the same thing. Notice what it said at the end. Let my fury come forth like fire and burn, that and a fire that none can quench it because of your evil doings.
Amen.
You know, it really gives us something to think about. How we've got caught up in this so much stuff.
Yes.
And really, how missed God.
Amen.
How we've got so caught up in what's going on around us. And we miss it. And you know what? How can we talk about the millennials?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the millennials are descendants from us.
Mm-hmm.
My first child was born in 1980. My last child was born in 1985. That really made me think.
Mm-hmm.
What have you done? Spiritual circumcision was heart surgery.
Yes.
The real issue wasn't men's reproductive organs. It was their heart. The Hebrew culture understood the heart was the fountain of life issues. What's going on with these kids today? Are the issues of their heart. And where did they learn the issues of their heart from? Us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, you know what? Why did he act that way? Look at the way you act. I can sure look at the way I act and know exactly why sometimes mine act the way they do, or the way they act lately. Circumcision was somewhat of a violent separation from the issue and separation from a worldly system. It was also a separation unto spiritual purity, and unto loyalty to God's new covenant. This is one of the most powerful things. Communications that man are inward, set apart to God. When you allow God to circumcise your heart, that's the most powerful thing that you can communicate.
Amen.
And you know what, God? I'm separated from the worldly system. I'm separated. And you know what? I'm even separated from my church. But you know why? You've allowed him to heal me.
Yes.
The song that Sister Carolyn sung, "Till It Bleeds Inside." And you know what? Once you totally bleed out, you no more who you used to be. When Jesus came to earth, he satisfied all the requirements. And that was the legal things. And he brought conclusion to the old covenant. The new sign given to indicate men were part of the new covenant was water baptism. Thus, baptism and circumcision are tied together, and it too must be obedient and in by faith. The apostles made it very clear that physical circumcision was no longer the requirement, since all people were incorporated into the body of Christ by faith. And you can find those scriptures in Acts 15, 1 through 29, Romans 2, 29 through 28, Galatians 2, 1 through 10, and Colossians 12, 10 through 12. Just as the natural nation was expected to live victorious as the people of God in the Old Covenant, New Covenant believers is expected to live victorious based upon the tense of the New Covenant. The old life and its practices were to be put aside, were to be set aside. And you know what? You were to be strengthened with the new life by faith in Jesus Christ. When one considers that circumcision causes us to prosper in the Abrahamic covenant, and rain causes the land to be productive, the twofold nature of the seal is to make everything about us fruitful. It's Father God's desire that we prosper and be in health in every way. Do God want any of us to be sick? Okay. You don't want to be sick.
I don't
want to be sick. God doesn't want you to be sick either. The natural rain from the Hebrew, the natural rain from the heavens, and that's a lot of scriptures, and I'm not going to go to them all, so we can go there. And if you walk in and a status and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in this season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Mm-hmm. But the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drink it water of the rain of heaven, and land which the Lord thy God cherishes, for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. You know what? God sees everything.
Yes.
And the last thing he ever wants us to do is not to prosper. And you know what? And God sees it. And you know what? The thing is, God never wants us to be in pain. He never wants us to hurt. Does?
No.
Notice what Job says. In Job 36:26-28, behold God's great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man's abundance. You know what? God always wants the rain and all that.
Yes.
And you know what? The rain, water, is one thing that will always give life to every day situation. Notice what James says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman wait for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain.
Amen.
You know what? God really wants to do some things in our lives. But you know what happens with us? We can't be patient now.
Amen.
We want him to do it right then.
That's right.
And you know what? If you don't do it right then, then we're ready to throw our hand in. You know, I truly believe that God gave Brother David this great vision for the Rock Ministry, for the community of Sneesbury, and how that the Rock Ministry would begin to impact and touch the whole entire world. But you know what? We start off at small beginnings and allow God to implant something in the view that it'll be able to spread. You know, the disciples never really went to work until Jesus was through them. If you notice, they made a couple trial runs and they come back with some ifs.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes we'll make a trial run and we'll come back with an if. Yeah. And you know what we'll do? We'll throw our hands in. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Lord? Maybe I didn't see this right. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to something. This is what we know about the rain. One, it was a conditional promise. Two, the fervent prayer of people becomes the water vapor for cloud development. Is there any intercessory prayer in here? Do you realize things only move as intercessors bombard others? And then you know what? You gotta pour down the rain. The rain will come constantly in two different seasons. And four, the earth must drink in the rain once it arrives. When God began to pour out his spirit, what do we do then? What do we do then? Most church folks, yes. Because you know why? You're not in a place to receive it. Notice what it says. We must be prepared for the arrival of the rain. And then we must drink it all.
Amen.
For Israel, the rain was the heavenly watering source. It was a more effective system than what they had in Egypt. If you notice, they had a thing in Egypt. And you know what? When God brought them out, they wanted to go back. How many times God would wash you out of trouble? And then you couldn't quit looking back. You couldn't quit looking back.
Mm-hmm.
This was God's method of upgrading them. When a nation's economy is tied to agriculture, rain becomes one of the most important and one of the most prized resources of that nation.
Amen.
How do you raise crops, harvest timely, and prosper without rain? It is clear from these verses of Scripture that covenant and right now y'all gotta excuse me for a minute, I've overheated. The covenant and the treaties have important conditions attached to them. Israel's blessings were dependent upon them keeping the word of God. You know, there's so many times we want God to bless us, we want to keep His word. Will I? Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. But how many times do you pray?
Yes.
How many times do you keep His word? And that's the thing. Though God fixed the covenant to make it irrevocable, in every covenant God made with us, it's irrevocable.
Yes.
He don't take the covenant back. We're the ones that have to do it. They could temporarily delay its privileges, and that's what we do so many times. We delay our privileges with God by the way we live. They could obey and reap wonderful benefits, or they could rebel and induce crop failure. Their financial prosperity depended upon their obedience. But you know what? Not only does our financial prosperity depend upon obedience, our spiritual prosperity depends upon our obedience.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
The spiritual rain from the heavens, and we all know what that is, the Holy Spirit. In Joel 12 and 28, and Malachi 3 and 10, and in Acts 3, 16 through 21, and in Galatians 3 and 4, and I'm not going to read all this, these are the scriptures for it. Joel 12, 2 and 28, and it will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon thy servants and upon thy handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Acts 3, 19 through 21 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Just a couple of scriptures that I'm not going to read now. And I want you to really listen to something. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the coming of spiritual rain. It indeed was the greater reality of all that God promised Abraham. When God changed His name from Abram to Abraham, it was the addition or the breath of God. If you notice, if you go back, notice what it says. God breathed in Adam, made him something besides clay. The Holy Spirit, when it breathes in us, what does it do? It gives you new life. And notice what happened when God breathed. His name indicated He had come alive into a new dimension in God. When the Holy Spirit breathed in us, don't we come alive into a new dimension in God?
Yes.
In the old covenant, selected individuals received the empowering gift of God's Spirit, such as in Judges 3 and 10, and then 15 and 14. And if you notice, the priests received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in 2 Chronicles 24 and 20. And if you notice, God has empowered them for certain tests, for certain things at that time. In Kings, He did it with the kings in 1 Samuel 10 and 10, and the prophets in Isaiah 6 and 1 and 1. However, the time comes, the day of Pentecost, and And do we really, honestly, truly believe and take to heart what the apostles said happened on the day of Pentecost? When God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, regardless of their assignment, their gender, their age, or social position. This was the beginning of that unique wish which Moses had for all of God's people. They could all move in the prophetic and prophesy. And you'll find that in Numbers 11 and 29. The Apostle Peter even added seeing visions.
Mm-hmm.
He said you will see visions. Whenever there is a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it can be defined as a time of refreshing or of a rainy season. Historically, there have been many of these through the centuries and generations. The refreshing presence of Jesus Christ is sensed and experienced in each of them in a new and profound manner. At this point, one could compare our lives to the land of Israel. Have you ever compared your life to the land of Israel? The Bible says we ought to always go back and look at Israel and not make the mistakes that they made.
That's right.
You know, we made the same mistakes, just in a different way.
Amen.
Just as natural rain causes the land to be productive, spiritual rain causes our lives to experience abundant prosperity. Have the spiritual rain that you have endured or in your life, has it been an abundant prosperity for you?
Amen.
Or has it been stagnating in your life? You know, so many times when God pours something in us, we have a tendency to go sit on it. You know, Lord, you gave that to me. But everything God gives you, He gives it to you to give away.
That's right.
Not to hold on to
it.
And then you wonder why you're not dead. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to tell you why I'm not dead. Because what God is calling me for it, as a young man, I sat down on it.
Yeah.
I didn't allow it to really burst out of my spirit. And then, when I looked at the survey, it tore my heart out. So in view, both circumcision and the rain were essential in producing a perfect seal in the old covenant, and both water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are essential in providing a perfect seal in the new covenant.
Amen.
So many people have given their life to the Lord, but did they receive the Holy Spirit? So many people were baptized, but did they receive the Holy Spirit? You must have a complete package.
Yes.
You've got to have the complete package. You know, if we go back and look, so many preachers in the past, men like G.L. Moody, Brother David can probably think of more of them right now than I can, his teacher, that poured so much into him. What have we poured into anybody?
Amen.
That have produced anything? Brother David told me about the times when he was in Germany or wherever he was, and this man came to see him. And he poured into him. And poured into him. And poured into him. And what? They wound up with a church in Germany with over 800 some people. What is all? What is each one of our testimony?
Amen.
What have we done with what God poured in us? Have we allowed the rain to evaporate and not do nothing? Or have we allowed the rain to water the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. Because see, you think about it, well, that brother Paul and the brother David, I can't think of his name right now, he's gone on.
Yes.
And brother David is pouring it into other people. And what he's pouring into other people is going to be poured into somebody else.
Yes.
But now we can't live brother David's life.
Amen. That's right.
So I say, you want to know what's going on with the millennial generation? Look in the mirror.
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen. 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 Amen.